absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
How do you travel? Intentionally? In today's show, we're going to once again be hearing about how the need to belong can lead to people migrating to another country. In this case, it will be about African Americans who had very strong reasons for feeling that only by moving to another country could they become their true selves.
They had to travel and leave the US in order to experience opportunity and even their full sense of humanity.
That, of course, was because of racial segregation in the US that was implemented after the abolition of slavery, and that is still felt today, for example, as an effect from land zoning. Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, show number 296. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from me in Denmark and Germany, where Oljana helped plan and carry out the interview. One of the main themes in this show is about intentional travel.
Visiting Paris, I went in high school, and luckily I went with a French teacher who had her own knowledge of this place that she was imparting to us at every stage. And I suppose now that I say that, that's probably the thing that initially shaped my approach to travel, just going with education in mind rather than leisure, and recognizing that it's always possible to blend those things together.
Our guest today is Dr. Tamara J. Walker, a professor of history at Columbia University, who recently wrote a book about this movement of African Americans out of the US. The book is Beyond the Shores, A History of African Americans Abroad. And it's a great read, full of information you probably didn't know, such as the story of the agricultural graduates who went to Uzbekistan in the Soviet Union, where their skills were much better appreciated than back home in the US. In this show, we'll be hearing more about the book and how Tamara's early opportunities to travel led her to write it, combining history with her own family story. We'll also hear how her Wandering Scholar scheme helps high schoolers explore opportunities inspired by Tamara's transformative early travel experiences.
I reflected on my own experiences of travel, that I had these early formative experiences that gave me certain cross-cultural competencies, gave me language ability, so that when I applied for a Fulbright, I was able to make a convincing case for myself that I could carry out the project that I had outlined.
So let's start the show by finding out more about Tamara's book, Beyond the Shores. The book begins in the theatres of Paris in the 1920s. To talk not so much about Josephine Baker, who is a well-known name, but Florence Mills, whose story didn't end so well. Let's go absolutely historical with Oljana.
Can you share with us some highlights from the book that you would really like the audience to hear?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that I really enjoyed was structuring the book. I knew that I wanted to tell a story about a century of people on the move, and that I wanted to start that story in the 1920s, because that's when really the modern African-American kind of travel movement got underway, in the form of all these entertainers who were making their way to Paris and to London and other cities in Europe to find opportunities on stage that they weren't able to carve out in the US. And that's a familiar story that a lot of people know about, that are familiar with Josephine Baker and her time in Paris. And so I wanted to expand the lens to include people that we tend not to associate with that time period. At least average readers would not be familiar with Florence Mills, who was also among this cohort of entertainers who made their way to Europe in the 1920s. And then it was also interesting to start with someone whose story, unlike Josephine Baker, ended in tragedy. She died at a young age, and I just wanted to kind of add that bit of detail to the story so that in addition to talking about the romance and adventure and excitement of travel, I would also touch on the tragedy that's at the heart of the story because so many of these people were going to these other parts of the world for reasons that were beyond their control. They had to travel and leave the US in order to experience opportunity and even their full sense of humanity. And so I wanted to start there to just really kind of set the tone for the rest of the book. And then I just had a lot of fun in terms of picking different people who, for each decade that the story unfolds in, represented what was at stake for African Americans when it came to leaving the United States, and who would also teach us something about the United States in these different moments in time. And then I was able to talk about people like Kim Bass, who I followed to Tokyo in the 1980s, where he worked both as an English teacher and as an actor and as an entertainer at Tokyo Disney, and just had this really cool set of experiences that you kind of hope to have in your early 20s. So, yeah, like I just had so much fun writing every single word of that book and could talk about all of it.
Both Oljana and I had the chance to read the book and found it really interesting. I was intrigued about the last chapter, which made the point about travelling absolutely intentionally. You talk about being a historian while you travel. I think I know what you mean, but I'm not entirely sure.
So in the last chapter of the book that focuses on this modern genre of heritage tours that I see happening in Paris and other cities in the world, but I chose Paris in particular because one of the owners of this travel company, Ricky Stevenson, offers these Black Paris tours, offering these tours that allow people to retrace the steps of people like Josephine Baker and her contemporaries. And so it's a historical tour of modern Paris where you walk past the buildings and restaurants and places where many of these people lived, and you really feel like you're retracing their steps and transporting yourself to the world that they inhabited. And yeah, that resonated with my own approach to travel as someone who is trained as an historian and always is thinking about the people who built the buildings that we're admiring, and not just the people who are credited with building those structures. You don't have to be a trained historian to do that, especially today because of the power of the internet and the diversity of tour offerings that are available to us in ways that when I first started visiting Paris, I went in high school, and luckily I went with a French teacher who had her own knowledge of this place that she was imparting to us at every stage. And I suppose now that I say that, that's probably the thing that initially shaped my approach to travel, just going with education in mind rather than leisure, and recognizing that it's always possible to blend those things together.
So you're saying travel with your eyes open and maybe with a little help from a tour guide.
Yeah, and like with an ability to look back too, to understand, why a place like Paris, just since we're talking about it in 2024, is made up of the people that it's made up of. What's the story there? Why is Paris so diverse? What does that tell us about the history of France, its colonial history, its history of slavery that explains some of these dynamics? And why is it that there's some degree of discomfort on part of certain Parisians with how diverse their city is? All of these things can be explained to some degree by understanding history. And I think it's in many ways our obligation as visitors to have some degree of understanding of what's going on in the places that are hosting us. I think that requires a degree of curiosity and awareness and recognition of what that means for us.
If you're traveling right now, maybe you could think about how to find out more about the new place you're in and how it got to be how it is now. As a way of giving young Americans the opportunities that she had, Tamara and a colleague have set up an initiative called Wandering Scholar. Let's go absolutely transformative.
Tamara, you are the co-founder and co-director of Wandering Scholar, which I find really fascinating as an initiative. And why was the need to create an organization that makes international travel accessible to high school students?
It traces back to my own early travel experiences. I went to private school growing up and had the privilege of being able to travel first to Mexico and then to Paris. And those experiences really set the course of my life. They were the things that made me want to study abroad in Argentina when I got to college and to major in Spanish and history and ultimately become a historian of Latin America to get a PhD in Latin American history. And while I was studying for my PhD, I had a Fulbright fellowship in Peru. And I remember going to a gathering of Fulbright fellows from the Andean region. We had all convened in Lima for a banquet. And I remember looking around the room and realizing that I was the only Black person and just among a small handful of students of color in that space. And it happened that I was seated at a table next to a representative from the Fulbright and was just kind of asking questions about the lack of diversity among at least this cohort of fellowship recipients. And we got to talking, and it occurred to me that what they were dealing with was a pipeline problem. And I reflected on my own experiences of travel, that I had these early formative experiences that gave me certain cross-cultural competencies, gave me language ability, so that when I applied for a Fulbright, I was able to make a convincing case for myself that I could carry out the project that I had outlined, and that I could even come up with a research project that was convincing to them as being worth funding. And so I realized that I had benefited just from having attended private school, and I attended private school on scholarship, but I had had all these opportunities in my life that really put having a PhD within reach and having this Fulbright fellowship in Peru within reach. And so it happened that at the around the same time I had met my now partner in the organization who had had a similar sort of trajectory. And so through our own respective journeys, we kind of landed at the same conclusion, which is that we needed to do what we could to make these opportunities accessible to other students from backgrounds similar to ours. And so with that, we founded the Wandering Scholar with the idea of making international travel opportunities accessible to high school students from low-income backgrounds. That's one part of our mission. And by accessible, we don't just mean financial, we also mean kind of conceptually accessible so that they can focus on the various kinds of experiences that come from having these educational opportunities that, in our case, range from 2 to 4 weeks in a foreign environment. And we provide pre-departure orientation with the goal of helping students produce what we call documentation projects focused on their host countries. And the idea there is to ensure that students treat their host countries as places of knowledge. And so this again goes back to the way I think about travel and the way my partner thinks about travel. And so they spend a lot of time reading newspapers that are published in their host country, sometimes in the language of the host country, other times in English if they're available, so that they can start to have some understanding of current events and the history of the places that they're going to, and start to think about the kinds of projects they can carry out while they're traveling. So we've had a student write about the popularity of certain kinds of sports jerseys and soccer jerseys in particular in Senegal. And so our goal is to really get students to think about these places as having something to teach them and to break out of the typical kind of voluntourism mode of student travel, which tends to offer just a really narrow way of engaging with host countries. And it's more service oriented, and you don't end up learning very much about the people of the place that you visit if you're engaged in that sort of interaction. It tends to just presume this kind of one-way source of information that the students visiting have more to teach the host community than vice versa. And so we'd like to disrupt that by having students educate themselves before they even board the plane. And then when they come back, we have a reentry program that's designed to help them reflect on their experiences and to bring these documentation projects to completion. And we see that as a model of engaged, globally competent citizenship that we introduce in our students. But in sharing the students' documentation projects, we see it as a way to also share with our larger community of supporters who aren't just our students and alumni, but also mentors and adults like ourselves who had meaningful travel experiences at a young age and want to stay connected to the world in a meaningful way beyond just kind of surface touristic experiences. But the second part of our mission is to produce multimedia content that embodies our vision of engaged, globally competent citizenship, and the student projects are an important part of that. And we've also started work on a newsletter that also kind of embodies our vision of how we want people to engage and think about the world and to come above all else from a place of curiosity and to use the tools at their disposal to nurture that curiosity and to apply it to their own travel experiences as well.
For me personally, it wasn't that difficult because it wasn't my first experience abroad in a long-term period. But what about the ones who like really have difficulties? What tips do you have for them to not feel this kind of border with themselves?
One of the things that we've tried to do with our students is to send them on programs where they're not alone, because I know that it can be really scary to travel for the first time and to be away from home for the first time. And to be in these standard study abroad programs often bring them together with students from other parts of the country who they've never met before. So they're experiencing different layers of new experiences in terms of new encounters with people their own age from their own country, and then new encounters in the host country. And so we try to send our students in pairs on these programs so that they'll be among students who at least they know a little bit better from having participated in our pre-departure program. And so we try at the same time to just instill in students a sense of confidence in what they have to offer as fellow travelers to the students in their groups, and also as representatives of their home country, that they have these unique perspectives. And because so many of our students are first generation Americans who were children of immigrants or come from low income backgrounds, they all have these really incredible stories of resilience, and they all have these really incredible cross-cultural competencies that they don't always realize they have, but that we try to encourage them to recognize in themselves. And we just want them to think of themselves as representatives of people in their age group who members of their host community might not otherwise have access to, because sometimes the image that people in other countries have of Americans is shaped by popular culture, which means it's quite narrow. It tends to presume this sort of wealthy and detached sort of American who isn't curious about the world and who doesn't show regard and respect for the members of their host community. And so we really try to instill in our students this sense that they have a tremendous, not only responsibility, but opportunity to make connections that make the world, our hope at least, a better, more connected place. And I think that's advice that applies to so many travelers. And we have this concept that we have been working with called intentional travel. And the idea is to encourage everyday people who are interested in engaging with the world to think critically about their reasons for travel in terms of why they may want to travel to different parts of the world, and to also think about the impact that their presence will have on their destination. Is it going to contribute to over tourism? Is there going to be some environmental impact or negative cultural impact in terms of the places that they visit? And the idea beyond that is to make sure that when people travel, they are taking their everyday politics with them and recognizing that when you travel, you always are taking your politics with you. It's not putting your politics on pause. It's actually an extension of the way you think about the world and your values. And so we always want people to have their values be in alignment with their travel plans as much as possible, and to at least spend time at the planning stage thinking about those things rather than going in blind, but to really be intentional in their own planning for the destination that they've chosen, but also for the kinds of experiences that they'll have day in and day out on the trip. So that's something that we spent a lot of time thinking about.
What about you? Do you travel intentionally? Could you imagine how your next trip would change to become more intentional? Have you already had a transformative travel experience? Maybe we could tell your story in a future show. You'll find links to the book Beyond the Shores, the Wandering Scholar Scheme, and Black Paris Tours on our website at absolutely-intercultural.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can subscribe to us for free and give us a rating and a comment. Next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laura Borgman on the 2nd of August. Until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.